everybody. Welcome. This is Mordechai Plotzker. Welcome to SharonJordan.com. Tonight's share is going to be on Parshat Balotcha. And actually, it's a fascinating Parsha because it's a Parsha where Moshe Rabbeinu loses his cool, the three C's, right? Cool, calm, and collected. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after hearing the complaints of the people, of our people, he basically says, Hashem, you know, I can't deal with this. Just kill me now. Just take me out. And so that's pretty striking in form of waking us all up and starting a shiur. So with that, I'd like to go back to the beginning of the Parsha. The beginning of the Parsha says, Balosa Saneros. Many Chazal are confused about what exactly this is referring to. Some say it's referring to Hanukkah, Zos Hanukkah. There is a reference there, Balosa Saneros, Kiner Mitzvah of the Torah, or. But I'd like to share with you the Kedushas Lady's take on this and then circle back how to resolve the issue that Moshe has to confront himself with in this week's Parsha, and what exactly all the complaints were about, and it's really fascinating. So first and foremost, we know that in life, every one of us, at some form or another, faces or experiences some form of setback. And the challenge that we're given is, how do we deal with setback? You know, is it something that we have to, you know, how do we deal with it? So, balosa es haneros, we have to raise ourselves up, raise up these neros. The Kedushas Levi refers to this particular parsha or this particular passage as, you know, in the reference to Sheva Yipol Tzadik Bekam, that there are several times that Tzadik falls, and each time he rises back. And that's the reason why in many Hasidic circles they love Yosef, because Yosef's the guy who, you know, comes from an illustrious family and then is abandoned by his brothers and sold into slavery and ends up in a prison on false accusations. And he's there with everybody else who has more stricter violations. And while he's lamenting his presence in prison, all the other people there look at him as no different than themselves. But Yosef is not thinking about that. He's thinking about how he will rise, how he will usher in a better time. He never stops dreaming. He never stops believing in himself. And he keeps the faith of his father very close to heart. And so it's not really that surprising that after a short while, his dreams do come to fruition. He's the only person in the whole Torah in Tanakh that's referred to as Ish Matzliach three times in Parsha, in Vayeshev, and throughout Miket. So we know that Yosef was the paradigm example for believers in the sense that we all are dreamers in some way or another. It's all about how we meet the challenge. And as Rabbi Nachman explained, that it's like a trampoline. A person falls down, and the deeper a person falls, the higher they can rise. So at times when we experience setback, we think that there's no better way to get out of this. And a lot of us are feeling that maybe it's, you know, you're working for somebody and the person doesn't appreciate what you're doing, or, you know, they're critical about everything that you are doing, even when you're doing it, in your view, correctly. You know, you're not happy with the commute. You're not happy with the colleagues. You're not happy with, you know, job recognition and satisfaction. And, you know, all of these things factor into a person's day and how do they deal with it. So, Sheva Yipol Tzadik Bekam. A person has to recognize Balotcha. We have to move forward. There's a language in Bahalotcha of pressing forward. And what does it mean, the Neros? The Neros, as we know, when we look at it, candelabra, they all seem to hover around the center. And the center has a little bit higher than the rest of the Neros that are comparable to it. That refers to the Shamash, and it's also symbolic of the menorah itself, where the menorah, for example, has a Shamash in the middle, and that is reminiscent of the Neros are reminiscent of the seven wisdoms, or the seven chachmos, like astronomy, music, science, mathematics, etc. So these Sheva chachmos are imbued with a form of power that emanate from the Shamash, which is Kiner Mitzvah Torah. The Torah infuses these Neros with the, so to speak, chemistry by which they can be so attractive in the attributes that they hold, right, including music is another one of the seven Chachmos. And so there is this direct and indirect attribution. So Balotcha Es HaNeros, we have to lift up these Neros, right? Kiner Mitzvah Torah, we have to lift up not just ourselves, but also everything that surrounds ourselves, that all of it we have to recognize is infused by Torah. And when we do this, then we form a greater form of elevation and also sanctification. And this actually really dovetails into the Parsha that the people were complaining about, and they said Zachana Sadaga Shachana B'Mitzrayim, and then they said Mia Halana Basar, which one of us has eaten meat? This very strange conversations that they're having. So it's interesting that the Kedushas Levi brings down that when they're talking about Zachana Sadaga and Mia Halana Basar, what does it mean? Which one of us ate meat? What kind of statement is that? They weren't vegans in Mitzrayim. They ate meat. But what they were really saying is, who has eaten meat that was shechted? So they're saying, we never tasted something. So Kedushas Levi actually turns it around a little bit and says, you know, in the positive frame, because that's what the Kedushas Levi does. He always sees the positive even in the negative, to say things such as, yes, we've eaten meat in Mitzrayim, but we've never eaten meat post the requirement for Shita, Melicha, right, to shecht it and then to salt it appropriately. And it's a different taste. And when we have the Shita and the Melicha, that tastes a lot different. So we never consumed meat before the way that we're consuming it now. We've never enjoyed it with the attributes and the functionality of Shita and all the processes that go along with it. However, Zachanas Adaga, surely we remember the Dug. What does it mean that we remember the fish? Because the fish didn't have any requirement for Shita. And the Shita and the fish tasted the same today as it did thousands of years ago. So therefore, they were able to say Zachanas Adaga, that we remember the fish. But I want to just focus on the fact that when Moshe Rabbeinu loses his cool, I want to just focus on that for a minute, because I believe, me personally, this is the most fascinating part of the whole Torah, the honesty of the Torah to reveal Moshe Rabbeinu's frustration with the Jewish people, to the fact where he just says, you know, kill me now. It reminds me of that joke where the rabbi and the gabbai and the shul president are taken captive by terrorists, and they give them, you know, one last request, and the rabbi says, well, I always want to give a class on purity and impurity, and that's going to take me about 6 hours. And the gabbai is given a last request, and he says, well, I want to make sure that all the boys get their bar mitzvah parshios correct, and there's 100 of them, so that's going to take me about 8 hours. I'm going to have, you know, prepare the laning with them for about 8 hours of laning. And the shul president listens to both and says, if I have to listen to the rabbi give a speech for six, and then the God, I give another, you know, lesson for 8 hours, just kill me now. I won't be able to handle this. So in the same way, Moshe Rabbeinu says something similar. I can't handle this. And so he turns to Hashem and he says, you know, just kill me now. So how does Hashem react to this sheer level of frustration? And what can we learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I think that if we pay close attention, Chazal point out that Hashem says that you should gather together Shivim Zekanim, 70 elders, Viorality, and I will go down and I will make things correct. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Chazal, Viorality, that Hashem expressed he's going to go down, is an achama, is a consolation to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu, you should take a little break, you should take a little breather, and I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will figure out the rest. And I think that, my friends, is one of the most powerful lessons we can learn from this exchange. A leader is someone who recognizes that. They say like a nasi, what makes a prince a prince? That the nasi is nosei be'ol chavero. He lifts up or he takes on the challenges of his friend. What is it about nisuin, the same language, marriage, that when one partner is having a difficult time, the other one helps the other person out and supports them as an ezer kenegdo? That's a support system, and everyone could benefit from a support system such as this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, does the same thing. Viorality, I will now go down and I will deal with the situation at hand, and I will infuse it with a certain level of understanding so that the Shivim Zekanim can properly take care of this. And Moshe Rabbeinu can take a little bit of a breather while all these things have to get sorted out. So what is the messaging over here? Things need to continue, but the greatest thing that a parent can do when a parent sees two children not getting along with one another is sometimes to stay back, but when the push comes to shove, to get involved and to see what that parent can do to help out. What is it about Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership that was called into question by Moshe himself? He appealed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to come down. And this is really the Dibrei Nechama. This is really a consolation. And I think that that's a very powerful takeaway for all of us, because we all have the power to be the Nasi, the prince, which is the nosei, to be a leader and to take on burdens of others in order that we can try to sort things out and make things right. And we do it as husbands also when we try to help out our wives, and our wives do it for us and to try to help us out when we need help in chizuk. And most surely when it comes to friendships, we need our friends to take the lead sometimes when challenges arise and say, you know, I understand you're going through a tough time. Let me see what I can do to help you out. Sometimes it could be a listening ear. Sometimes it could be maybe if I can help you out with some funds. Sometimes it could be anything else. And there's so many different ways to fill in the gaps in terms of this discussion. So I think that when we look at these challenges that arise in the Torah, it keeps us all honest. The Torah is amazing in that it records these things and these frustrations because it shows the human dynamic. And it really is a human dynamic. So with that, I give everyone the bracha that when we see opportunities to help each other, we should rise to the occasion. And when we do, we should recognize that we are acting as a prince. Have a wonderful week and a Shavua Tov. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you all the very best.